Morning. I want to take a poll real quick. Before we get started, I just want to know what we're dealing with today. So, if you have life figured out and everything is under control, raise your hand. Okay, good. We're all on the same page. So I just want to make sure we're starting there. My name is John Simonson. I'm the pastor of Discipleship and Young Families, and it is my joy to be able to speak with y'all today. I want to invite you to open your Bible to Romans 7. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 25. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the hymnal shelf in front of you, or you can pull up your phone or tablet and open up your Bible app there. Now, just a reminder, for all those that remember whenever I speak in here, I need your enthusiasm, right? So I need your help. So when you get to Romans 7, amen. 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 Man, y'all sound good. Romans 7, 13. So, did something good bring death to me? Absolutely not. But sin caused my death through something good, so that sin would be exposed as sin. That way, sin would become even more thoroughly sinful through the commandment. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am made of flesh and blood, and I am sold as a slave to sin. I don't know what I'm doing because I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do the thing that I hate. But if I do the thing that I don't want to do, I'm agreeing that the law is right. But now, I'm not the one doing it anymore. Instead, it's sin that lives in me. I know that good doesn't live in me, that is, in my body. The desire to do good is inside of me, but I can't do it. I don't do the good that I want to do, but I do the evil that I don't want to do. But if I do the very thing that I don't want to do, then I'm not the one doing it anymore. Instead, it is sin that lives in me that is doing it. So I find that, as a rule, when I want to do what is good, evil is right there with me. I gladly agree with the law on the inside, but I see a different law at work in my body. It wages a war against the law of my mind and takes me prisoner with the law of sin that is in my body. I am a miserable human being. Who will deliver me from this dead corpse? Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I am a slave to God's law in my mind, but I'm a slave to sin's law in my body. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So did that clear everything up? Did y'all got all that, right? I actually really love this passage because it's me, because that's my life. I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do, and it's just crazy sometimes, aggravating crazy sometimes. I mean, I try to be the best person I can all the time, but there's always the struggle of life. You know, for those of you that don't know, I'm also a full-time police officer with the city of Orange Beach. I'm the patrol lieutenant in Orange Beach. And this past week, I got to go to what I think is the ultimate seminar that that I've ever dreamed of going to. I went to my retirement seminar. It was fantastic. When you're in the state retirement system and you have less than 5 years left, you get to sign up to go to a seminar, and they tell you about retirement. They give you your estimate, your estimated date of retirement, and your estimated income, and all that good stuff. And it was the pinnacle of my career. It was a good day, because when I went in the doors, I thought I had 47 months to retire, but I only have 40, so it's even better. I shaved half a year off just by showing up. But to be honest, the first part of the seminar was a little boring. I didn't really think it applied to me. I think it was geared more towards the, we'll say, wiser, more experienced, Any other synonyms for older that I can think of? They talked a lot about Social Security and Medicare, which I'm a long way off of, so I kind of tuned out and lost interest at the first part. However, there was this one lady that got up and spoke that kind of drew me back in. Her whole presentation was about preparing for life as a retired person. And to be honest, it was stuff I had never thought about because I'm not working. I'm just going to switch to full-time ministry full-time. But, yes, I caught it late, sorry. I'm going to switch to ministry full-time. But what she said really kind of drew me back in, and I really appreciated what she talked about. She said there's three areas that you need to be prepared for when you retire. The first is the obvious one. You need to be prepared financially, right? Because when you retire, your income is usually a little bit less, and so it's a change of lifestyle. She said, then you need to be physically prepared to retire. That if you want to do the things you've always dreamed of doing, you need to be able to physically do them. But you also need to stay physically fit, because in retirement, one of the largest costs is healthcare and illness. But the third one is what really caught my attention, and it was something that I'd never thought about. She said, you need to be emotionally prepared to retire. And I was like, that's odd. But then she began to explain that most of our lives, we have lived a certain way. So 25, 30, 20, 40, whatever years, you spent all that time learning how to live that way. You may have joys in your work that you do certain ways, that you have taken over and made yours. But when you retire, you lose that. Somebody else is going to step into your place and take over that certain thing that you love doing, and you have no control over that. Really, she said, it's like learning to live all over again, because the routines that you have in your life, the day-to-day activities that you have, you've been doing for so many years, are over. And you've got to learn a new way of living. It was really interesting because it fits so well with what we're talking about today. Starting this new sermon series this week on peace. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace with self. I mean, that's what we all long for in life, right? Is peace. But what does it mean to truly have the peace that Jesus promises us? What does he say? I will give you my peace, but not as the world gives. What does it mean to have that peace in our lives? Well, over the next 12 weeks, we're going to talk about that. We broke it up into a couple weeks, and we're going to just explore what is peace with God first. For me, I am most at peace when I'm in control of my life. When everything is going exactly the way it was supposed to go, when I don't have to worry about work or family, it's just all happening exactly the way it's supposed to, right? Isn't that peace? But then what happens when something gets thrown in the mix there? What happens when things don't work out the way they're supposed to? When an unexpected expense comes up? When the kids don't do exactly what they're supposed to and they fight with each other all the time? Mine never do that. That peace that I so long for and cling to, it just dissipates. It disappears, and my life feels like it's in turmoil. But if we're supposed to have peace, how do we find peace in that moment? I think we need to redefine what peace with God is, with that peace that Jesus promises is. The world defines peace as success, right? When life is great, everything is good, that's peace. But is that how God defines peace? Is that what he promises us? This life with no trouble, no stress, no worry, no doubt? I mean, this passage in Romans is written by Paul. Now, Paul had just a glorious life, right? He went from jail to jail, had a thorn in his side, house confinement. No, Paul didn't have this wonderful life that was easy, but he had a wonderful life that he found peace in, right? Even in jail, he found peace. He had to work on it, but he found peace. Saul was a man of peace, right? He had his whole life in control. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to chase down Christians and persecute them. That's what he was doing on the road to Damascus, right? Was doing what his life purpose was. And he was good at it. And he thought he had peace, right? That conversion story that happens on the road to Damascus is what leads to Paul being able to find peace in troublesome times. What did he do? What does it take? How do we get there? I think the first thing that happens is we have to lose control. We have to give up on this idea that we can control everything that happens in our life. That if something goes wrong, we have to make it right and make it fit in our own pretty image. We have to give up with this idea that if we do enough, if we say the right thing, if we act the right way, then that will bring peace into our lives. When you're bored and you say, well, I'm just going to go work at the church, or I'm going to go spend more time at work, and we fill up our lives with these activities in order to find peace, then are we truly finding the peace God promises us? Or are we just filling voids so that we can feel like we're in control? We can feel like our life is going the way it's supposed to go. I mean, that's exactly what Saul did. He filled up his time with persecuting Christians because that was the way he thought life was supposed to go. It wasn't until God blinded Saul and made him helpless, made him dependent on others, that peace began to enter into his life. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of work. It took some transformation. But the first thing it took was some submission, some recognition that, number one, we are not in control. And number two, our lives are unmanageable. Doesn't that sound good to say? I can't control any of this. And if I really want to be honest with myself, my life is unmanageable. But if we want to find the peace God has for us, then the first thing that has to happen is we have to recognize that we are nothing without him. There is no magical way to be. There is no schedule that we can set up that will bring us the peace we all long for. In order to truly live the way that God calls us to live into the life God has for us, there's three things that we need to learn how to do. The first one is radical obedience. I mean, that doesn't even sound challenging, right? Obedience, we got that down. That's what Paul's talking about here, is obedience to the law, right? I know what's right and what's wrong. I know that I'm not supposed to talk a certain way or act a certain way. But when you start breaking down radical obedience and we start understanding that that is a call to live the way Jesus taught us to live, what that means is we can't take control away from him and say, well, I'll pick this one and I'll pick this one. Oh, and this one's easy. I like this. I can live this way. It means we have to give up control and trust in the way he taught us to live, to trust in the life he has promised us. It means turn the other cheek. It means be less than those around us. It means to take up your cross and follow in all areas. The second part of living the life God has called us to is authentic relationships. Surrounding yourself with people that are committed to being true to who they are and allowing you to be true to who you are. To say what is so for you and you allowing them to say what is so for them. To be able to admit when we struggle. To be able to go to them and say, I need help. To be able to live in a community in which you are loved no matter what. And when you fall, or when you stumble, or when you turn away, you've given them permission to say, no, you need to get back. You need to turn back. And finally, there's self-awareness. Self-awareness. So as Nolan and I have prepared for this series, we didn't want to just stand up here and talk and say, okay, this is how you find peace with God. That would be too easy, right? Y'all could just show up every week, check off that box, say, I went to church, heard a good sermon. And then go about your daily life trying to control every aspect of it, trying to manipulate peace to fit your understanding of it. That's too easy. So Nolan and I talked about what can we do. And so we came up with some practices, some spiritual disciplines that we're challenging each and every person in here to make it a part of your day throughout the week. And as we go through this series, we will have a different practice and challenge for you to live into. If you are truly seeking the peace that God gives, to be able to live completely in that peace with God, then we do. We challenge you to be radically obedient and be who Jesus taught you to be. Now, when you do some of these things, it's also going to bleed over into some self-awareness. Because as you go through these spiritual disciplines, there might be things that come up inside. Some things that scare you. There might be some areas of pain. There might be some recognition that things aren't the way you thought they were. And that's okay. Because we serve a God who loves us regardless, right? We serve a God that loves the broken. We serve a God that works in and through the brokenness to bring true healing and to bring completeness that is only found in Him. So your challenge for this week is submission. The practice of submission. Recognizing, finding those places in your life that you cling to control, that you try so hard to manage, and then letting go. This can be done a couple ways. One way is to set aside some time for solitude. Be intentional. Solitude does not mean you and your spouse driving down the road. Solitude does not mean time with you and the kids or the grandkids. Solitude is not nap time. Solitude is being intentional about turning off the TV, putting down the phone, turning off the radio, being by yourself and being honest with yourself and with God. Searching inside those places of control, those places of you're trying to manage, and then giving them to God, saying, I cannot do this. I have structured my entire life around controlling these areas, but I take them and give them to you now. Another way that you can practice submission is by actually practicing submission. What would it look like if the grandkids come over and you say, okay, whatever they want to do, I'm going to do. Whatever it is, I'm not going to argue with them or try to control them. I'm just going to practice submission. What if you did it with your spouse, your kids? What would it look like to truly submit and give up control? And then to be aware of what happens inside of you when you do. What happens if your spouse says, we're going to do this, and instead of saying, no, I don't want to do that, we need to do it this way, or we need to go here, or we can do it at this time, trying to control the situation, you just said, okay. And where does that begin to tear away inside of you? Where does that struggle begin to happen? And in those moments, you say, okay, God, I didn't know that this was a big deal, but apparently it is because I'm ready to strangle them. So I need to take this moment and just, I need to let go of this. I recognize that I'm trying to control it and trying to manage it, but that's not who you call me to be. I'm giving that to you now. So sometime during this week, on a daily basis, we challenge you to find some solitude, to be aware of how you live your life. Be aware of the control and give it to God. And then to be submissive. Practice submission for real. And be aware of where that is bothering you, where that is challenging the way you think. And turn that over to God right then and right there. Man, this passage describes me perfectly. Because my entire life, I try to control how things are. I try to control how they go. But I long for that peace God promises. And if I know, if I want to find it, I have to let go. If you turn over to Romans 8, It tells us right here in verse 4 and 5. He did this so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, the way we live is based on the Spirit, not based on selfishness. People whose lives are based on selfishness think about selfish things. But people whose lives are based on the Spirit think about things that are related to the Spirit. So in these moments of solitude, in these moments of submission, be aware that the Spirit is with you. And when you're fighting for control, that's the selfishness Paul was talking about. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can gather together in your house, that we can come before you, open up your word, and seek your truth. Lord, you promise us peace, but peace not as the world gives it. Lord, we long for that peace. But Lord, that doesn't mean we understand it. So often, we cling to the peace as the world understands it. That we are in control, that we can manage, that we can find on our own. Lord, we recognize that's not the same thing. That if we want to have peace in the midst of a storm, if we want to have peace in the midst of the struggles of life, if we want to have peace in you that fulfills and gives life, then the first thing we have to do is submit to you. Lord, I pray for courage and strength as we go through this week, as each of us accept this challenge to find solitude and to seek inside those moments we cling to control. As we accept the challenge to be submissive and be aware of where that is tugging at us inside. When everything in our body screams, no, don't let go, remind us that it's that moment we need to give up. We need to give up control to you, to trust in you, to recognize you at work inside of us. Lord, strength and courage. In Jesus' name, amen.